Going to call to order the West Lafayette Community School Corporation Regular Meeting Board of School Trustees. And for tonight's agenda, we'll ask for approval of tonight's agenda for December 7th, 2020, for the regular meeting. Need approval, please? Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Wick. And all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Approval of the minutes of the November 2nd, 2020, regular meeting of the Board of School Trustees.
Move approval.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion, additions, corrections, anything on that front? That has been already been communicated. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Communication from the audience, current agenda items. I don't have anybody signed up, anybody out there that wants to speak. We'll go to unfinished business, of which I have none, and we'll start to new business, academic achievements and West Lafayette School Corporation updates, and Dr. Killian.
Thank you. Dr. Ho, Dr. B. Colley have been, of course, helping us in our reopening plan and working with us as we go through each day and each week. And Dr. B. Colley's here, and she's going to update the board on some information with regards to where we are as a school district and give you some data and some information.
Perfect, thanks. So our counts are based on parent reports that are coming to our school nurses. The positives are being either reported by parents or they're coming from the Tippecanoe County Health Department. Staff positives are coming from the personnel reports. I know Dr. Ho did make a separate category for service providers that were not actual school corporation employees. Those would be like trainers. I know we've had some student teachers that have fit into that category as well, but he is going to shift back next month and just students, teachers, and staff. Obviously, we are doing our best, but we may not have an accurate assessment, as we do have a fair number that are online only. These numbers should look pretty familiar. These are all the ones through November, and you can see the positivity rate on this on the far right column, obviously going up over the weeks, as we expected, both based on being in school and as well as what was going on in the community. And the next one are the more recent data. Obviously, you can see a big jump. So for that first table, everything was pretty much under 10%, and you can see we start at 10%, but this past week we've been up to 30%. Now that there are a couple little tidbits there that it does include some from the week of Thanksgiving, where obviously we did not have updated counts over the long weekend. So again, something that I'm not surprised with, the increasing prevalence in the community. So I think overall what we are seeing, though, is that we still, with all of the protocols that we have in place, with the everybody being masked and socially distanced, are what we are doing is working, and the students are able to remain in school and continue to learn in person. If you look at that third bullet, it does say that the majority of the spread that we are seeing is coming from the families and not from inter-classroom spread. So I think our quarantining procedures, the minute we find out about positives and sending home anybody that was in close contact, it has to date really decreased inter-classroom spread. The other thing we have noticed, it's very amazing how one positive teacher or one positive student can affect several classes, many students. So continuing to do the things we are doing, everybody masking, isolating, distancing as much as we can, does seem to be working best to prevent that spread. Of note, we did decide the week before Thanksgiving that we're going to close Willis. We had about half the classes were out, and we continue to have a couple of extra positives both among students and staff. And so we decided, by having the kids go virtual for just 2 days, it actually gave us 9 days away from the building to allow things to kind of simmer down a little bit. So big things, again, just continuing, we're being really diligent with everything we are doing. You probably have heard the newest stuff in the news about the CDC changing the recommendations. If you read it, it's kind of iffy. It's not very clear, and I would not say that they have actually changed the recommendations. They are still recommending 14 days. They have said if you have to, there are options. However, our local health department is continuing to recommend 14 days because of our increasing positivity here in the community. So that is what we are going to continue to do for now. There is some talks that maybe for next semester we might be able to drop the quarantining for asymptomatic exposures down to 10 days, but for right now we are staying with the 14. Again, I mentioned that we have noticed that one student can take out several teachers, or one teacher can take out several classes, so we have been continually talking to the teachers and the administration to kind of reevaluate things. Are there things we can do? And I know there are things that we are doing, maintaining seating charts when in switch classes, so then if there is something, it's not going to disrupt more patients just because of the switch class. So we are working at that, and just kind of trying to think outside the box for things that we can do to kind of continue to, again, decrease how many kids we're having to quarantine. And again, just continuing to be really diligent about masking at all times, both indoors and outdoors, recess, gym class, all that kind of stuff. I think that's all he had. Questions?
Questions of anybody from group? Rachel, go ahead.
Of teachers who also have children in the corporation, mm-hmm. What kind of impact has that had on the quarantining and the exposures?
So it all depends on the situation, but again, if the teacher is exposed, then they quarantine, but their child does not necessarily have to, because it's considered a secondary contact or a contact of a contact. Now, if it's the other hand, if the teacher is positive or the child is positive, then yes, it does. And I think that was part of what we ran into here at Willis, that we had a number of staff that was making it really tough to keep classes in session.
Okay, thank you.
Questions or comments? Anything else? May, just from my perspective, just obviously the trend is going the direction it's going, and it may get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
I mean, is that is the biggest concern too, is after the Christmas, New Year's holiday, this will continue, instill the hopes of the vaccine being when it is? I mean, how do you project that? How do you see that going?
I know that's kind
of an impossible question, because we're all trying to figure that one out. But.
Couple things. I think definitely holidays, anytime there are big groups, I think that we've already seen that in the clinics, that from Thanksgiving, we are seeing, hey, I was exposed to somebody and they didn't know, but they came to Thanksgiving, and now I'm out for 2 weeks because I was exposed. So that is my one concern with Christmases, that we're going to see people that were exposed. And so I think a couple weeks after Christmas, we might see our numbers go up again. Again, I've been saying, I think the safest place for these kids is to be in school. I think we can monitor masks here. We can keep them socially distant. So I think just being away from school could cause issues with kids not wearing masks, going places that there is no distancing. So I think just being away from school, I think itself could make the numbers go up when we return.
Thank you. And we appreciate everything you're doing. Okay. Other questions or comments from anybody? Okay, thank you, Dr. Biancalli.
No,
appreciate your
time.
Thank you. West Lafayette, we'll move on to the next item, West Lafayette Library Partnership, and Dr. Killian.
As you are aware, the city will be moving out of Happy Hollow at the end of December, and we've been doing a lot of things behind the scenes to try to keep partnerships going, and one of those partnerships that we continue to have a great partnership with is the West Lafayette Library. So I've asked Mr. Schenkel, or the West Lafayette director of the library, to present an idea that we've been working on for probably over a month now. And I'll let him present the ideas, and then I'll ask the board for consideration.
Thank you, Dr. Killian. And thank you for having us tonight. I should mention that with me tonight also is Mark Pugh, our library board treasurer, and Mark Griffith with the Veritas Group, so you may have questions, or they may have comments for you as well. Basically, the library will be undergoing a major renovation construction program starting in early 2021, and knowing how renovations and construction projects go, we thought it would be useful if we had an opportunity to use space outside of the library so that we could do some staging and perhaps also some public service outside of our existing building while all of that construction activity is going on. And knowing that the city is moving out of the Happy Hollow School complex into their new facility across the street from the library, at the Marjorie Morton Center. It occurred to us, we began the negotiations with, or discussions with Dr. Killian and his team about possibly using that some of that space for about a year and allowing us to have some, as I said earlier, some ability to use not only our current building, but also space at Happy Hollow. We'd be asking for something in the neighborhood of 15,000 square feet or so, along with parking, obviously, for our staff and for folks who wanted to come in and use the library materials and items that we would have there. And that's about where we are right now. We would come in early next year and probably stay for about a year or so and make minor, if any, changes to the existing building, work well with the West Lafayette School Corporation staff, and that's our concept. So hopefully you'll be agreeable to us entering into negotiations with the school board. The library board has already indicated that they're interested in moving forward with this, so we wanted to make sure that that you were interested and open to the idea as well. And of course, if you have any questions, I'm happy or to answer them, or I'll call up one of our marks and ask them to respond for you.
So stay put right there. So what I'd like the board to consider is authorizing our CFO, our attorney, superintendent's office to negotiate with the West Lafayette Library Board with regards to trying to develop a lease that's mutually agreeable to both the school district and the library. And then if we come to an agreement, we would bring that back to the board for ratification in January.
Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Schott.
Second.
Second by Dr. Springer. Discussion, question, and we have been talking about this for almost 2 months in one form or another. Go ahead, Mrs. Swick.
Nick, are you intending to, would it be moving your whole operation or just part of your library day-to-day operation over? Are you, do you know that answer yet?
We don't really know that answer yet. At a minimum, it would be moving our many of our backroom staff, we don't have tons of backroom staff, but moving our backroom staff operations up to Happy Hollow so that that space would be freed up. And I if we can negotiate more, I would be happy to have public service pretty much move to Happy Hollow as well for at least part of that year as the library is being redeveloped. But that would be open to negotiation.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Again, you said you don't know exactly how long the time frame is going to be for your needs. But our time frame works well for you in terms of flexibility and getting started.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions? All in favor of the motion that Dr. Killian presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Thank you, Nick, very
Thank
much.
You.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the next item, which is the Academic Achievement Construction Projects update. And Dr. Killian, the floor is yours.
Yes, it's been a while since I've given you some updates with regards to our construction projects. So let's first start with Happy Hollow. As you all know, since October 3rd, 2016, the plan has been that we would continue to seek out additional revenue to continue to help us with our construction projects. We have the capability of utilizing Happy Hollow for short term, so we had the city do that, and now we have the library interested in doing that. Pandemic has kind of slowed things down with regards to fundraising. Our foundation has raised $2.6 million in pledges and money that has been received thus far. Our goal is $5 million. So the foundation's in the process of looking at rebooting as we get hopefully this vaccine and the pandemic slows down so we can get geared back up with regards to the fundraising, because our goal is $5 million, and we believe that that's achievable with the people that we've been in contact with and the doors we've been knocking on. With regards to Happy Hollow then, our hope is to move forward in preliminary plans with an early childhood kindergarten center in some way or fashion. after we get everything accomplished at the junior senior high school and we get the fundraising completed with the foundation and having the library come in, it buys us a little bit more time with regards to the utilization of that building, as well as giving us time to do that fundraising. At the junior senior high school, the James R. Guy Wing will become operational, partially operational in January. The media center will start. We've already, I think, started using some of the other remodeled classrooms that were occurring behind the scenes with that. The plan is still to do a ribbon cutting ceremony mid-June for the James R. Guy Education Wing. And then the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center structure is starting to come up. And we will start seeing some internal work done as we get into January and February, with the theater being closed in March, I believe, and starting the remodel of that. And the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center should be open and operational by mid-June, with a ribbon cutting ceremony at the end of June. Everything seems to be on track, or maybe a little ahead of schedule. So I wanted to give you those updates, and there'll be much more coming with regards to the fundraising, with regards to everything that's going on with the construction projects and future plans at some point for Happy Hollow and those discussions and how we're going to implement those.
Okay. Questions or comments on that front? I mean, it's just kind of an update of things we've been...
So are those on separate dates, the ribbon cutting for the Jim Guy and the Bob Kelly? Are those separate dates?
Yes, they'll be separate dates. The Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center date is set, and that's June 26th. The Bob Kelly Performing Art, I'm sorry, the James R. Guy Education Wing will be a week prior.
Okay.
And we haven't set that date as of yet, but it'll be sometime during that week. We're working on a few things and making sure that schedules work for everyone.
And we, with respect to the foundation also, I mean, the board officers were involved in the meeting last week or so, maybe a week or 10 days ago, regarding some things that, you know, from a personnel standpoint, to be able to, they're looking at ramping that up again for the next phase here, as they've really only been dealing with one person when they've had two. So that will be a process that will continue to work our way through here over the next
And please keep in mind that we're always looking at about 2 to 3 years ahead. So what we're working on currently has to do with the future, not the present. So we're working on some partnerships for the Happy Hollow site. I think there could be some positive news in the next year or so with regards to those partnerships, if everything keeps moving forward and some discussions we're having.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rafia, for that. We'll go on to the next item, Diversity Task Force. And as the board knows, Rachel and Karen and I have been involved really with this since about July, when we really started the process, and have worked now to be able to be in a position to offer, at least currently as a volunteer, but Dr. Carolyn Johnson, who we've actually been engaged with since I think late July was the first time, maybe or first of August, first time we've spoken with her. And Dr. Johnson would serve as a facilitator to this committee. And we're as we've talked about in past meetings, the ability to and hope that this will convene in January, in terms of soliciting not only membership but also scope and direction of where this task force is going to move itself forward. We've also with Margaret Saros and also Laura Falk, of two people that have agreed to serve as co-chairs or chairs in this as well, and that really, in my opinion, gives us a great opportunity to have a facilitator that's outside of our system that understands our district. Dr. Johnson, just for a little bit of her background, she's the Associate Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion at Purdue. She's got BS and master's in education from IU, but also her doctorate from Purdue. She's been here since 1985. I think she actually physically lives in the district as well. And I really pleased. I think we're very fortunate to have her at our disposal to really lead what not only an important discussion, it's well past that. It's the ability to take a hard look at everything that we're doing. And also the importance, and this is a thing that needs to be understood, our ability to do what a board's function is with respect to this issue, but also foster an environment of discussion and implementation and review of everything that we're about. So that is it. It's been a challenge over the last few months to try to get to a number of places that we think we've at least started that process, and we're really thrilled with not only with Carolyn but also with Margaret and Laura being involved as well. And I'm going to ask Rachel or Karen if there's anything else that I didn't add. You and I, we've been meeting or discussing this, I think, on a weekly basis for quite a while, and that's been good. But is there anything else that I've missed or any other comments you'd like to make?
I would just reiterate that we last month laid out what we were going to do for the January meeting, so this would just qualify as an interim update on the January goals that we talked about last month. So those things are still happening, but it was important to give an update, I believe.
Yeah, and important to announce Carolyn being responsible. Go ahead, Karen, anything else you need?
Just that we considered a lot of different candidates for the facilitator position, and Dr. Carolyn Johnson rose to the top. We'll meet our needs.
Yeah, I think she's going to be an excellent candidate for that. Okay, so we need to I need a motion first with respect to Carolyn's role and
so moved.
Moved by Mrs. Wick.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prock. Now I think she had her hand up first. Any other questions or discussion?
What sold you on her rising above the rest?
And I'll speak for myself. I think, one, she's been in public education. She's done this type of work. She understands, even though she's been at the university level since 85, she's been involved in school districts. This is a part of her outreach program. And she just, to me, is something also with respect to her presence and her tone about how best to move forward. She seems to be an excellent listener. And that's an easy thing to say when you're having Zoom calls with people, but I just think that's what it's going to take. Somebody that is going to work to ask good questions. I think she's extremely good in that environment. And I just think with her background in public education, with her background at Purdue and in understanding our community, it really made her stand above the rest in my view. And that's one person's opinion. I don't know if there's other comments you'd like to make.
And kudos for taking advantage of a great resource in Purdue, which obviously is in our backyard, so that's awesome. And I think it's great that it's not someone that's close to us, but it's not distant from us.
Yeah, I think speaking, you know, and certainly with Karen and discussing with Rachel, we felt it was important to have somebody take a look at us, okay? And that doesn't mean that, or find people that would do it. And as this committee is formed, we've had some people that have expressed some interest, and we're going to begin that process of trying to determine exactly what that will look like. Is to, you know, it's hard to, you need to have an outside view. And her role is to facilitate. I mean, that's clear. It's not to dictate. It's to facilitate. And I think that's an important distinction that she can bring to the table. And it comes highly recommended from people that we knew at Purdue and in the community. One of our stakeholders who's been involved in a number of projects and been as a vice president of Purdue, Elisa Rollick, that was her initial recommendation as well, and we moved in that direction based on that, but we certainly looked at other options as well.
I would add to what Alan said also that she's really excited to work with us.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it. To have somebody with so much vigor and enthusiasm for our schools and our community and want to be involved in it. So I'm thrilled with her level of energy.
Yeah, I think that's very, very true. And she seems to be we're energized by her energy towards that. And yet she's a very deliberate, seemed to be quite deliberate, and not somebody that's going to call a lot of attention to herself. Not that that can't do that, but I think that she's, again, I like that listening mode and being able to bring things out. Because one of the things we talked about with respect to committee members or folks that are about this is we need voices. We need people to speak out. We've heard some voices, certainly, since WL Cares, et cetera, that's been, and those are important voices as well. But this is something that's important for our entire community, and we need to take a look at that as well. So I think she's very good in that front. And other comments? Okay, need a motion then to accept Carolyn. We've already got that, and we voted.
We don't need to vote.
Okay. I did sleep last night, honestly, but maybe I'm sleeping now. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Okay, that motion does carry. Thank you very much. We'll move on to elementary and intermediate school improvements, and Steve Olhop, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. We have a few items that we'd like for you to consider for payment from the 2017 bond, which include some finishing items at the elementary school, including some doorways to the gym, some improvement in the landscaping at the Nature Center, the installation of some parking lot lights in the south lot there, as well as some paint work in the gym. This work for the elementary school comes to approximately $84,000. Here at this building, intermediate school, we ask your consideration for acoustical improvements to this very room we're in, the cafeteria, as well as the gym, carpet for room 502, as well as some playground equipment and mulch. These items come to approximately $162,000. And then there are some items for the junior senior high cafeteria, mainly smallwares, silverware, and that sort of thing, but also a frozen drink machine and a faucet and hose reel system. And that comes to approximately $4,800. For a total, again, this would be from the 2017 bond of $251,040.
Okay. Need a motion, please, to accept this and we'll have discussion. Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Dr. Springer. Discussion, please. Any questions for?
Do you know how much we'll have left, or we have left in the bond fund right now?
Once this is approved, there'll be about $3.5 million.
Rocky, are these things that were just not anticipated? They're not anything that's faulty. They're just upgrades to what was constructed. Is that true?
That is true.
Okay. Any other questions?
You never know about the acoustics of a room until you build the room.
Right.
A lot of echo.
Okay. Any other questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Thank you, Steve. Move on to school board policy updates. Dr. Killian.
The committee has been working hard to continue our updates, and so we're recommending the updates of the school board policies per the recommendations of NEOLA and the committee, and it's based upon changes in legislation, mostly. We're also requesting a waiver of the two policies with regards to the pandemic. Making sure that we have in place policies for PPE, safety, mandates of masks, et cetera. So if you approve those, then we can make sure that those are in our policies to continue moving forward.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Schott.
Second.
Second by Dr. Springer. Discussion, a question. The policy wonks. Anything else in your end?
A lot of work.
It's been a lot of work on that project.
And this is almost to to the end of the spring updates. We have one more policy to do, so we're excited.
And how many years has it been?
And then, well, no, there's updates twice a year, and then we'll start working on the fall 2020 updates.
Okay, any other questions or discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry for the school board policy updates. We'll move on to Health Dental Vision Employee Handbook updates.
Recommending your approval of the updating the employee handbooks with specifics to the health dental and vision increases that were approved at the last board meeting.
Okay, I need a motion, please. Moved by Mrs. Prock now.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion, questions? Hearing none, all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? That motion does carry. Forecast 5 website update, and back to you, Steve.
We ask the board's consideration for funding for the Forecast 5 software. Essentially, what this would allow the business office to do is to generate some comparative reporting and hopefully also generate some stakeholder-friendly graphics and reports that we can publish on our website eventually to help facilitate stakeholder understanding of our financial situation. We would like to enter into this agreement with Forecast 5 for $2,121.50 for calendar year 21.
Okay, all right, need a motion, please. Moved by Mr. Marley, second by Mrs. Prock now. Discussion, questions?
Can you give some examples of what bells and whistles is gonna show, especially in the outside world?
Well, if I understand the question, what this will allow us to do in the business office is to run some comparative reports that show how we're doing compared to some other school districts on various financial parameters, and allow us to report some of our own internal data in a little bit more friendly way that we can get out there on our website.
The majority of Indiana schools run Forecast 5 or are using it, and so what's nice about it is if you want to, let's say, compare teacher salaries between our school district and other school districts in the state, you could actually go to this software and you could put in school districts our size or whatever size that you want, and you can do those comparisons. If you wanted to do comparisons of student enrollment or class sizes, all of this data is generated by those, of course, the schools that use it. And I would say, the last I heard, about 80% of schools in Indiana are using Forecast 5. So I think in the next couple of years, you could see most schools, if not all schools, using it. And then I also believe the Indiana Department of Education is using components of it as well. So I do see this in a couple of years where it will be all-encompassing for all schools and be easy comparisons between school to school and all kinds of financial or contractual categories. You want to look at assessed valuation comparisons. You want to look at transportation costs. I mean, it does a lot of great things that are easily reportable. And they do all the work, and you can bring it into your website.
Okay.
Yeah, much of the data that's reported through Forecast 5 is publicly available, but not necessarily in a convenient format. So this will help us to generate that data in a lot of different ways for different stakeholders.
Okay. Thanks. Other questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of this motion to adopt the Forecast 5, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Thank you, Steve. We'll move back to you, Steve, for property insurance renewal.
We ask the board for consideration for our property insurance quote for this year. We work with the Henriot Group to try to get the best pricing on our property insurance. This includes, obviously, our buildings, but also various liability coverages that we need to carry as a school corporation. This year, our quote is $215,188. And this is about 19,000 more than last year. The difference is primarily adding Happy Hollow back to coverage, whereas before it was covered by the city during the term of their lease.
Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Witt. And Steve, did I cut you off, or do you have something else that you need to add? Okay, thank you. Any discussions or questions, please? You said the difference is 19,000?
Right, the difference is $19,000, almost all of which is attributable to adding Happy Hollow back to coverage.
Makes sense, okay, thank you. All in favor, or any other questions or comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Thank you. Back to you, Steve, for aquatic center maintenance.
We ask your consideration for approval of a contract with the Sphere Corporation out of Rochdale, Indiana, for the expert inspection and maintenance of the swimming pool and the aquatic center. This contract, what it covers is specified in the document provided. It includes filtration, various controls, testing kits, etc. And this is the amount of $4,265. Okay. For a one-year contract.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion, questions, Steve? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. ECA and back to Steve.
We ask your consideration for an increase in the limits to the extracurricular credit card account. Right now, we currently have our credit cards for extracurricular accounts at PEFQ. And there are different limits depending on the school. So the elementary school extracurricular account credit card has a limit of 3,000, which they found to be insufficient to cover their, for example, their holiday fundraiser spending that they're doing right now. The same thing applies here at the intermediate school, where the ECA credit card limit is also 3,000. But it's 10,000 at the junior senior high. So what we're asking is for your consideration to increase the limits on the ECA credit cards from $3,000 at each of the two elementary buildings to $6,000.
Okay. All right. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Dr. Springer. Questions? Comments, discussion, please.
I'm curious, this is based on historic use, number of students, what's the basis for the number?
Well, the number that we've come up with is based on reports that we get back from the secretaries here at the intermediate school and the elementary school, who report to us that during heavy use period, for example, now in December, and at some other points of the year, as they start to take in fundraising and they need to spend that money back out, for example, to buy gifts and things for needy students, that they quickly run up on the $3,000 limit, which requires the ECA treasurer to go make a payment at the bank so as to make a credit line available for continued spending. And this is a periodic issue. It's not every month that they need a $6,000 limit, but you have to have a standing limit. And it appears that $6,000 would be reasonable and acceptable, and one that they would not necessarily run up against on any regular basis.
Thank you.
And nothing changes in terms of the purview of the Board of Accounts and everything else. It's just a credit limit change.
Correct. It's just a limit change.
And well within the framework of the law.
I should also add that we would like to apply to carry this line of credit at Huntington rather than at PEFQ, as this is where we carry our other bank accounts for the school corporation. to streamline operations.
And as a reminder, the state audits extracurricular, the school district every 2 years. Typically, the issues come down to federal grants, the Wabash Valley Education Center, and those adjustments. So I think there's lots of safety protocols with regards to this. And if you check with other school districts, as I have, you'll find that this is in line with a lot of the school districts are doing as well.
Okay. All right. Any other questions or comments? Need a, we've got the motion, but all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Okay. Extracurricular treasurer bond, and back to you, Steve.
We ask the board's consideration to allow the business office to purchase a surety bond for the new ECA treasurer, Constance Laws.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion, please. Lots to discuss here, but any questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. All right, we'll go to item 10, band donation, and Rocky, it's back to you.
Recommend the board accept the $1,000 donation to the band department.
Okay, need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Prochnow.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion, which I'll start by saying thank you for the donation, but any other comments or questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Personnel report, back to Rocky.
Recommend your approval. The names listed in the personnel report.
Okay, a document we receive in advance, need a motion, please?
Move approval.
Moved by Dr. Springer. Second by Mrs. Prochnow, and discussion, comments?
Will we look to replace the permanent sub that left the second semester, or are we okay?
The principals have been working on it. I think I heard the other day that they are close or had found subs. So right now, things seem to be, I think, as close to the edge as we can be and maintain staffing. I don't know if that's a good way to say it or not, guys, but, yeah. So far, so good.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry.
Just quickly, getting back to what Tom said, is the principals reminded me on Friday at our meeting, one of the saving graces for our school district when we started all of this was the board's approval to bring in permanent subs at our buildings. And even though early on they weren't always in and out of classrooms as much as we're needing them now, we were ahead of the game in getting that accomplished. So it made life, I think, a little bit easier to ensure that we had coverage in the classrooms as we got into late fall. So a big thank you to the board for allowing the administration to put those permanent subs into place.
Okay, thanks for the permanent subs. Okay, we'll go on to accounts payable, and back to you, Steve.
We ask the board's consideration and approval for the November claims, which come to $3,590,389. This consists of two payroll periods, other deductions from payroll for benefits, other claims of $1.4 million, construction project payments of $746,850. And approximately $51,000 for WEBEC claims, for which we are the LEA. If you look through the claims, there are just maybe one or two items to note. I would draw your attention to the Trinity Financial Services and the amount of $51,913. This is a rental or a lease payment for Chromebooks, 700 Chromebooks, that we're currently leasing to students. So that's an ongoing expense. We have, actually, I think, two payments to Anthem for health insurance, because they don't necessarily bill us on a regular monthly basis. And otherwise, the detail of all of this has been provided to the board, including the detail on the construction projects.
Okay. All right. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt?
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Any other questions on accounts payable? Comments? Pay our bills. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry.
Before you do this next thing, can I interrupt?
You may.
Okay. We've got some recognitions tonight, but we just received one today, and it's to the recognition of the school board from the Indiana School Boards Association. So some people might know, might not know, we belong to the Indiana School Boards Association. We get our training individually and as school board group through the Indiana School Boards Association and the National School Boards Association. And this is from Brooke Owner, who's the Events and Communications Manager for ISBA. In this unprecedented year, ISBA was unable to celebrate our exemplary governance awards recipients at the spring regional meeting. However, we want our award recipients to be able to showcase something positive for the year. Their accomplishments are extremely important to their continued professional development, as well as reflective of their dedication to Hoosier students. So on behalf of the ISBA, the West Lafayette Community School Board has been awarded the Exemplary Governance Award by the Indiana School Boards Association for the amount of training and participation that all of you have participated in with the Indiana School Boards Association and the National School Boards Association. So this is the plaque that'll be in our office, and then it also has a very small little name plate that's magnetic that has all your names on it. So congratulations to the West Lafayette Community School Board.
Thank you. And I think thank you to all. That's a lot to do with participation, and many of you have spent a lot of time being involved with that, as board members, but as professional development. That takes quite a bit of effort, and it's quite not always recognized. So that's a credit to you that have done that. So the next part is never an easy part, but is our school board recognition of two of our members that will be at their last school board meeting, which might be celebration for them. I don't know, but I wanted to recognize them and begin this process with, I'll start with Melissa Prock now, and in the social distancing world, you can't hug and you can't do much of anything but hand plaques, but you are welcome to make a 10-minute speech if you'd like, but I'm kidding. And I'm gonna stay so that I can speak in front of my microphone. But I wanted to say about Melissa in speaking as a fellow board member, nobody was more prepared for meetings. She quietly, when you talk about somebody that was somebody that was able to hold us accountable for things, she knew her stuff. I don't think anybody that I've been around with in my years of doing this got up to speed any more quickly than Melissa did in terms of her ability to understand difficult concepts from finance to the foundation to things that really were thankless from that standpoint. And Melissa, I enjoyed getting to know your husband Jay as well in terms of a couple of social events, but we appreciate so much your time and your effort and your ability to pleasantly be persistent and to also bring a definite perspective to us, and we will miss that a great deal. So I'm going to hand you the plaque, and if you have something you'd like to say, you're welcome. I know that that's not your
No, that's not my thing.
Thank you. And I'm going to get back in front of my mic. Secondly, is Brian Bittner, at the end of the table here. And Brian has been with us. It's hard to believe it's been 11, almost 11 years. And Brian has also been everybody. Brian's a friend to everyone, and that comes in very handy in terms of his ability to find things out, connect with people. He has, you know, been a pillar of this community for a long time as well. He's been in this district not only like, and Melissa has certainly too, with the fact that her children have gone through school here as well, but Brian have gone K through 12 and then to grandfatherhood. So you've certainly had that experience and have been in this community for a long time. And I've always appreciated your attitude and your ability to not take things too seriously, but we also appreciated your, at least from my perspective, your ability on the finance side, always asking. I think we always waited for the questions. Brian would ask quite simply, can we afford to do this? And that was always a fair question, and it's always a question that we need to always try to answer as a board and understand exactly as much as possible to know what's going on from our financial standpoint. But also, Brian has just been such a strong community member that he gave us as a board, at least in my time, certainly an understanding of what people were thinking and what concerns were out there, and was never hesitant to pleasantly express those. So, Brian, I'll hand you your plaque, and you're also allowed to make a 20-minute speech if you'd like.
I think I know the answer. Thank you very much.
No, I thank my peers on the board. It's been great 10 years working with you all. Rocky and your administrative staff, April, for everything you do for us. It's been a great 10 years, but sometimes it's time to move on. So thank you to the community as well.
Thank you, Brian. Well said. Information to the board, and I don't know if this really qualifies. I think one thing that is important that I think everybody on the board feels, and I'll speak carefully for the rest, is our overwhelming feeling of gratitude for our teachers, our administrative staff, the front office staff, our students, to be quite honest, the people that the kids that come every day. We know that every day has not been an easy one, and it's still difficult. There are challenges every day. We understand that, and we hope through Dr. Biancalli and Dr. Ho, that the decisions we've made, tried to facilitate through people that may be smarter or at least more engaged with respect to this pandemic, that we hope we've made the right decisions. We think we have. It's been important to us. It's been important to get school open and to continue to do that. We hope, and that's a word that you don't always want to have to use. We hope we can continue to do this all throughout this next semester. That's our plan. But we know that there's no way that this could be done without the work of our all the people I mentioned. And that also goes to stakeholders as well that don't have kids in the school that have been so supportive of our efforts and our ability to go out and try. We have not been perfect in this realm. We know that. But we also know that at least I'll speak for my colleagues on the board. I think across the board, we're grateful for, in its own difficult way, it's been extremely inspiring for us to watch this and know that it's been the most difficult time for everybody in the world. But as we go into our little part of the world, it's been difficult for everybody. And it is every day. And that makes it extra important from my perspective that we continue to do it. I see the bus come in every morning at 7:25 in the dark now, and I'm glad that we're still doing that and thankful. And that doesn't happen without the work of everybody. I'll even go down to the and it's important from our facility staff, nurses, all the way through. Everybody's made this happen, and in some way, maybe 10 years, maybe it'll be 20 years from now, I don't know, but we'll look at this as one of our finest hours as a community, because I think we've tried hard to make this work as best as possible, and we're going to have to continue to do this for a period of time. I think everybody understands that, but I just wanted to make, and I think I can speak for everybody here, that this is how we feel as a collective unit, very humbled by the actions and activity and professionalism and persistence that everybody has brought to the table. So we're grateful for that.
May I piggyback on that?
Yes, you may. Go ahead.
Thank you. One of the things the state of Indiana did several years ago, as you might all recall, is do what's called teacher appreciation grants, call it TAG. And over the last few years, the state has really diminished the teacher appreciation money. I think it's now about $30 per student that each school district gets to give to highly effective and effective teachers when the money comes out. We just, all the school districts in the state just received their TAG money. And I think what's sometimes missed by our community is what you all have done with regards to the board policy, in that we have a board policy that ensures that not only teachers get the TAG money, but all staff get the same amount. Bus drivers, custodians, paraprofessionals, tutors, food service. Everyone in our school district is going to get an equal amount, and we use our cash balance out of our school district to let our staff know that it is not just one group, but it's everyone working together. And that's really highlighted, I think, by just what Alan said and what's going on this school year. So I want to thank the school board, and I want to thank all of our staff. Our teachers just received their TAG money. It ended up being about $512 before taxes. For full-time teachers, and it's prorated if you're part-time. And then all of our full-time staff also will be receiving that on December 20th. Again, $512 per for each full-time staff member, and prorated if you're part-time. And I just think it goes to show that in our school district, we celebrate everyone. And I can't tell you the number of emails I've received, especially this year, from the non-certified staff. We're very grateful that we're one of the few school districts in the state that does this, that recognizes everyone. And so I just want to make sure that everyone's aware of that. And we are very appreciative of all of our staff that are working very hard every day. So well done to all. I wish we could do more. Wish we had the money like Purdue and do 750 per employee, but I can't raise tuition at this point, so we'll just take the money that we can utilize.
Thank you. We appreciate that. All right, board and superintendent reports go around the horn. I don't know how much we'll have here, but I'll start with you, Brian, and from your end. Rachel?
Nope, policy.
Nothing new?
Board teacher discussion. Let's...
Okay. Alyssa?
The Education Foundation, the Student Council co-presidents were both present. And their the focus is going at the high school for the Student Council is going to be mental health and stress relief. The senior class has some additional funds because they were unable to have prom, so they're looking to put that money towards the Legacy Project, and they're considering several different ideas for that project. The foundation is working on a couple of scholarships, and they hope to have those maybe by the end of the year. The 5K teacher trot was held the October 29th through the 31st, and it raised $2,100 for teacher grants. There were also four teacher grants that were awarded in the fall cycle, about $3,000 for the fall, and they're going to have a spring cycle with roughly about $4,500 left. The annual campaign Fill Our Cup was mailed out, themed Fill Our Cup, was mailed out in November, and hopefully all of you got it. And then I have the Public Schools Foundation of Tippecanoe County. We did not have any grant applications submitted from West Lafayette, but we did have seven rapid response grants that were applied for and received in August and September. So, and the tentative date for the cupcake run will be September 9th of 2021.
Thank you, Melissa. Appreciate that. Tom, anything from you? Brad, any updates? Dan, anything from you?
Yeah, from the Parks Board, the Riverside Skating Center wasn't able to open the day after Thanksgiving due to the warm weather, And now there's some mechanical issues that they're trying to resolve. So hopefully by the end of this week, it will be open, but just keep checking the Parks and Recreation website. The hours of operation are listed, and their COVID policy is also listed there. And then GLASS Governing Board will be meeting next Tuesday.
Great, thank you. A couple of other issues that and Karen, are you will be willing to send out an email to for the board officers for the January meeting?
Yes.
To solicit
we'll
members in terms of who will have the opportunity to do that. If you'll do that here the next couple of weeks, or get that determination for the January our January 4th meeting. Let's see, what else did I have? Also, we have the live stream tonight, I think, was down. And we are, one of the challenges with live stream is not the ability to do it. It's what it takes from our staff to get it done. And that wasn't necessarily the issue tonight, but our intention is for the January meeting, we hope to have it up. But we are going to have to take a long look at where we are doing our meetings from and how is it feasible for us to continue to do this on a regular basis. I mean, it's our intention, certainly, to have people to have access to our meetings in some form or another and to improve in that area. But that does present a challenge for us from our tech committee. We appreciate Mark and his group for all that they've done to make to in this transition of having meetings here. But we are going to look at options that might be able to bring that to a more consistent basis. But it's important that we do this reasonably with respect to live streaming the meeting. So I don't know if you have anything else to add to that. Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. Communication to the audience, non-agenda items, and nobody has signed up. Anybody else have anything they want to say? We'll move on to our next meeting. Again, will be Monday, January 4th, 2021. That almost sounds good, just to hear the word 2021. And at 6:30 p.m., it'll be the regular organizational and finance board meetings, and it will be at 6:30, and it is scheduled to be here.
Possibly.
Yeah, we will keep
it. We might move it, depending upon what we can get done technology.
Possible that we may be moving the meeting, but we will post.
We'll try to make a decision the next couple of weeks. The issue is the hours that they spend setting up the mics, tearing it down for school, setting things up, tearing it down. And so if there's a location that we could utilize that you don't have to keep setting things up and tearing things down, Mark and his team probably spends a couple hours easily each and every time trying to get things set up, and then while we're all at home relaxing, he's tearing things down and not getting home until well after an hour or so after we've all left. And so I just don't think, from a resource standpoint, since we're so limited anyway in this current environment and all the things that they're having to do, that we continue to add things on if we can find a simpler, easier way to do it.
Okay, thank you. Need a motion for adjournment? Mr. Marley?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Brock now. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. We are adjourned. We do have some things to sign, and we'll go from there. Thank you.